Okay, I'm going to start with a poem called The Gertrude Stein Halloween Costume. And this was actually a prompt. I had some students, Aubrey's here. Well, Aubrey, you were in that class, weren't you? Where are you, Aubrey? Yeah, this was Jennifer's prompt, remember, on Halloween? Okay. Frankly, Stein, and France, and Stein, unsigned, unzipped, unstitched, unfilled with beef or pink pork slime, a lot of guts, revolt, recharge. A corpse poses problems, but not in the Gothic, where castles, cadavers high up on a meaningful hilltop forge frank correspondence when straightening likes. Gertrude Stein as a Halloween costume. Man Ray with a hood on his head as he mates with the camera to make her long edges. Picabia paints her a good-looking, famous, androgynous emperor. Manuel makes her a match for the mantle. Alice and Igor, of sorts, hunching over the cassoulet, weeding the cocoa, striking ex-girlfriends' names from the texts, depriving the texts of a helping of spring. Toil and trouble is nothing compared to a couple of women en route to Belinian, Bichon in tow, giving lifts to the belly on up to the zinc bar, exhausted GI, where the countryside's breast puffs up against the grim sky, part black eye, part a sleepwalker's blanket. Shelley sojourned, but Stein studded her roads with electrons you turn, as though trying to pull in a radio signal that stadium eagles, eager to scramble, dive bomb on repeat. Stein, as a Halloween costume, does not go through customs, does not cost you nearly as much as it cost. And this is a poem in little numbered parts called Unwrap the Room. And this poem and the next poem, which is a little bit weird too, I'm really happy that when I wrote something weird, somebody decided to publish it. This will be coming out in the Los Angeles Review. Unwrap the Room. One. Enough cackling in the corner there. I get the point. It's going nowhere. All this muscle, bone, and blood. The organ trinkets keeping me alive. Okay already. Nothing special here. A rubber band on a very long conveyor belt is pretty much the span. Two. Dismantle all your well-constructed laughter down to dowel, where tongue folds into tonsil. Put the pieces in this basket made of everybody's hair, half noodles, quarter centuries, everything you've uttered, sawdust drifting near your feet. Three, your feet meet the earth, the summer dazzles. Young ones pose at corners for the walk sign, toes in sandals, hand on hip. Jesus needs a light from you, and then he needs a kiss from you. And since he wants to marry you, he douses you in water. Or you are Jesus, squatting where the window meets the splintered board. You chat earnestly to the scent of your own body. Four. For what it's worth, I am a choking vine around the eastern redbud's pink umbrella, holding tight like I've never seen it blossom, like I never will again. To make a gift of it, I shift my weight, or is it wind that winds the minutes round that bark? Each leaf I make, a comment that cannot offend. Five. Superimposing the then on the now is the work of six sparrows whose feathers are thin. I was in there, and in there, and in. I took Jesus's call, but lost patience, wrapped my hand around his mangled wrist, then withdrew it. Alchemy between not and not not, a simmering sewer of soul. It used to be funny, but I haven't been kind. Six. unwrap the room of all these cafe voices flying out like flags, insisting this is your world, this is your time, and this little room is your space. Soak them in the deepest vat of lilac night, the glory between torrid and the toothache of the moon. When you wake tomorrow, overcast or bright, you will be mute until you claim one from the line that hangs from where to where. This is a little hard to do. I hope I'll do justice to this. It's a kind of sound poem. And Terrence, who just won the MacArthur Genius Award, said something on NPR about how poetry is music and language is our instrument. So we'll see. Script for a bad night after weeks of no sunlight. It's all right. As if dead. Is that right? As if dead. Is that right? Is that right? As if dead. It's all right. As if dead. Is that right? As if dead. Is that right? Is that right? As if dead. It's all right. As if dead. As if dead. Is that right? Is that right? Is that right? Is that right? As if dead. 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 Is that right? Is that right? Is that dead, as if right? Is all dead, is dead right? As if dead, as if dead, as if dead, as if dead. Is that right? Is that right? Is that right? Is that as that is that dead, as if right? All is right, all is right, all is dead. Right as if, right as dead, right as is that right? As if dead, as if dead, as if dead, 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 as if right, 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 right. Thanks. So I've been working on this series. It's still in progress. It will probably be in progress for a long time. I take the opening line from one of Shakespeare's sonnets, and then I just do something with it. I often don't know what, and I change up the form, and I sometimes engage with the sonnet thematically, sometimes just use the language, do some heuristic exercises, whatever. And since there are 154 of these, and I'm only into the 70s, I guess I'll just keep changing them. But this is the first one. And what I've done here is it's just a series of numbered statements. And the line is, from fairest creatures we desire increase. One, she sat behind me in sixth grade, her perfect olive porcelain. Two, deal or no deal, Slovenia. Each box holds a dollar figure. Each box is held by a teenage girl in a baby blue baby doll dress. The MC is a shaved head. Three, my sister's OB-GYN has a specialty plate on his Mercedes, Box Doc. True fact. Four, JFK Jr. had Jackie's widow's peak, which she had even before she became the world's most famous widow. Five, from fairest creatures we desire increase. Six, the girl from sixth grade appeared on the cover of a fashion magazine when both of us were 20. Seven, Wheel of Fortune, Vanna White still stands beneath the letters after 20 years. Eight, he gave me a child with a kind of skin I envied in sixth grade. Nine, Dancing with the Stars, a girl who is famous for becoming a teenage mom while her mother was running for vice president. 10, Why are the white people shooting abortionists? From fairest creatures we desire. 11, High school is the Atlantic City of reproductive possibilities. 12, I think I stood right next to her at Hill House, the videographer who seduced the presidential candidate by blurting out, "You're hot." 13, this is a quote, the Census Bureau has projected that by 2042 would have a majority-minority total population, that is, less than 50% whites in the total population. 14, to have more than six children is to want to rule the world. 15, she said, at your age, if you had another kid, I bet you $50 it would turn out retarded. 16, college is the Olympics of reproductive possibilities. 17, the models display the dollar figures with reverence, like they are commandments. And this is Shaken 13, and the first line is, oh, that you were yourself, but love you are. And what I did was play with the beginnings of letters. On thin, yammering, wall-eyed yen, belief lets you ache. Over the years with yardsticks, belief lures your ass only to yearn, waving your belief like yellow advice. Oh, that you were yourself, believing lies yet also ordinary truths. Young wagging yaps, belief, love, you are overrated. Told you when your bottled lips, your art or therapy yielded wilted yarrow. Belief usurps all obsolescence. Told you what Ulysses begged. Yams age overboard the yoke. With Joe's belief, look yonder and oh, that you were and would say and would not open then, yawning wide, to yodel back lonely yeti again. Olive-tinted yesterday, wind yowls by yards and opal-textured yards. Why you believe lashes yes against. And then let me read one more from here that's a little bit more conventionally narrative. I'll read these two, actually, that are a little more accessible, maybe, I hope. Shaken 20, Indecent Proposal, but the line is actually a woman's face with nature's own hand painted from Sonnet 20. A woman's face with nature's own hand painted came into the room and rolled its eyes, but not in any fake way. Are you surprised as the guy in that song by the Kinks? And what would you do with that thing you did not think you had any use for? The difference isn't gender, dude, it's youth. The paragon of womanhood's a man. Who knew? And now you're getting off on what they do. You're like that millionaire in that movie with Redford, Demi Moore, and Woody Harrelson. Remember that one? I forgot to mention, I'm actually talking to Shakespeare in this one. Because in that sonnet, there's all kinds of weird gender stuff going on. And so I wanted to kind of call him out on it a bit. Shaken 22. My glass shall not persuade me I am old. Yes, my glass will not persuade me I am old. And actually, this is set in one of my uncles died last year. He was 89, so this was at his funeral. And the she in the beginning is an aunt. She wobbled, held the backs of chairs to keep from what? She hobbled, and I asked her if she still was doing yoga. She said yes, and then joked how that meant that she would live forever. I don't see her much, but we were at a funeral, my uncle's, just a few years older. Now I think how stupid I was to ask her about yoga. Let me tell you about yoga. Sometimes I am in a contest with a room full of bodies 30 years my junior. I am 30 years her junior, and I wonder if I came off as condescending. There are few things people much younger than I can say that I don't hear as condescending. When did that start? Suddenly, I know a part of the parade of myself is ended. Jeff and I went up last week to Seven Springs to visit our students at a writing retreat. We were giving them some writing prompts, or as he put it, exercising the young. Of my 50s, I keep thinking of the line from Frost, the oven bird, what to make of a diminished thing. The student of mine who wrote his paper on that poem last fall stopped by today. He complimented my hair and asked if I was growing it out. I can take this as condescension if I want to. Of yoga and living forever, I said to my aunt, but would you want to? This was meant to show I understood something important about aging, another kind of contest. On Facebook, I see that Elle, who turned 90 in December, is letting her gray come in. She sits in that profile picture's gray halo, as though from another world. She's earned it. And the last poem I'm going to read is, you'll see in the counter in the back, there are some flyers for a chapbook that I'm really lucky to have coming out in a couple of weeks. It's called Scatterfeed, and Seven Kitchens is publishing it. I'm really excited. So this is one of the poems from it, and it's set up like like an experiment, so it has subheadings. Not that I was ever remotely good in science. I used to actually cry in chemistry class, cry. But so this is my attempt to kind of redeem those tears, I guess. It's called The Chemistry Lab of Late August. Hypothesis. Because love must be given, the cats get unwarranted attention, and the high-rise, demolished to half-hearted heaps of gray rubble, brings tears that dismember the windshield. Because love sits like dough undigested, if it isn't sliced and served, there is always a daily special with a new combination of all the old ingredients. Because, as with water, there is heavy love and light love, the former being more reactive, one brain, suspended in the liquid yellow light of the empty cafe, continually recalculates the date of the mothership's return. And one squat mug, through an act of sheer will, refills the instant it is emptied. So what of the aging quiz kid in Magnolia who had so much love to give he couldn't sell appliances? What of the kitten rebuffed by the tomcat who used to let her suck on his virtual nipples? Why an extra hydrogen, an extra Y chromosome? Can a phone replace a heart? And if so, for how long? Methods. The salmon-shirted sentinel looked up and down the street for the arrival of Adonis. A milk truck, a Humvee, a love car throbbing with reworked cliches, the bus with its cargo of unemployed limbs, the bus with its cargo of heat-seeking missiles, and the bus with its undecided forehead, all passed by. And so the salmon swam up into the latest edition of Waterfall, light splitting into a rainbow, then becoming a cold railroad spike of pure sun. Discussion. Hydrogen. How you make oxygen gush into something the moon can control. You burn so clean, we hardly deserve you. You burn so fast, our freight turns to shadow at your touch. Conclusion. Because love keeps its date with both wrecking balls and wisdom teeth, the nests of insincerity keep hatching newborn chicks. And so the steps are simple. Stand up, push your chair in, scatter feed. I'm so excited to be introducing Lynn Emanuel. She's one of my favorite poets ever, as the kids say, ever, with an A-R at the end. She was my teacher in grad school, and I'm lucky to see her at work now. She's written several books, and I hope you have all of them. Hotel Fiesta, Oblique Light. Well, I had to obliquely mention that. Then Suddenly, and the fabulous Noose and Hook. And her work has been featured in the Pushcart Prize Anthology and Best American Poetry 8 times, and is included in the Oxford Book of American Poetry. She's awesome. She's won NEA fellowships. She has the best laugh in the world. And I could have read a million and one poems that I love of hers, and I decided to read Inside Gertrude Stein. Right now, as I am talking to you, and as you are being talked to without let up, it is becoming clear that Gertrude Stein has hijacked me, and that this feeling that you are having now as you read this, that this is what it feels like to be inside Gertrude Stein. This is what it feels like to be a huge typewriter in a dress. Yes, I feel we have gotten inside Gertrude Stein, and of course it is dark inside the enormous Gertrude. It is like being locked up in a refrigerator lit only by a smiling rind of cheese. Being inside Gertrude is like being inside a monument made of a cloud which is always moving across the sky, which is also always moving. Gertrude is a huge galleon of cloud anchored to the ground by one small tether. Yes, I see it down there. Do you see that tiny snail glued to the tack board of the landscape? That is Alice. So, I am inside Gertrude. We belong to each other, she and I. And it is so wonderful because I've always been a thin woman inside of whom a big woman is screaming to get out. And she's out now. And if a river could type, this is how it would sound. Pure and complicated and enormous. Now we are lilting across the countryside and we are talking. And if the wind could type it would sound like this, ongoing and repetitious, abstracting and stylizing everything, like our famous haircut painted by Picasso. Because when you are inside our haircut, you understand that all the flotsam and jetsam of hairdo have been cleared away, like the forest from the New World, so that the skull can show through grinning and feasting on the alarm it has created. I am now alarmingly inside Gertrude's head, and I am thinking that I may only be a thought she has had when she imagined that she and Alice were dead and gone and someone had to carry on the work of being Gertrude Stein. And so I am receiving from beyond the grave radioactive isotopes of her genius saying, take up my work, become Gertrude Stein. Because someone must be Gertrude Stein. Someone must save us from the literalists and realists and narratives of the beginning and end. Someone must be a river that can type. And why not I? Gertrude is insisting on the fact that while I am a subgenius, weighing 105 pounds and living in a small town with an enormous furry male husband who is always in his Cadillac Eldorado driving off to sell something to people who do not deserve the bad luck of his merchandise in their lives, that these facts would not be a problem for Gertrude Stein. Gertrude and I feel that, for instance, in patriarchal poetry when, like an avalanche that can type, she is burying the patriarchy, still there persists a sense of condescending affection. So, while I'm a thin, heterosexual subgenius, nevertheless, Gertrude has chosen me as her tool, just as she chose the patriarchy as a tool for ending the patriarchy. And because I've become her tool now, in a sense, Gertrude is inside me. It's tough. Having Gertrude inside me is like having swallowed an ocean liner that can type. And while I feel like a very small coat closet with a bear in it, Gertrude and I feel that I must tell you that Gertrude does not care. She is using me to get her message across, to say, I am lost. I am beset by literalists and narratives of the beginning and middle and end, help me. And so, yes, I say yes, I am here, Gertrude, because we feel, Gertrude and I, that there is real urgency in our voice, like a sob that can type, and that things are very bad for her because she is lost, beset by the literalist and realist, her own enormousness crushing her, and we must find her and take her into ourselves, even though I am the least likely of saviors and have been chosen perhaps as a last resort. Yes, definitely Gertrude is saying to me, you are the least likely of saviors. You are my last choice and my last resort. And here is the last resort.